Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Now, this is going to seem like a Bible study tonight. I won't get real preachy tonight, but I want you to, we're going to take time. We're going to turn in our Bibles to a lot of scripture. So I want you to get your Bible open. If you don't have your Bible with you, then slide over next to somebody who does have a Bible, or if you got an extra one between you and your spouse, share your Bible with somebody in front of you, behind you. I want everybody to follow me tonight. I want to just talk to you. I want to reason with you from the scriptures, and I want to help you tonight. Leviticus chapter number 20. I'm just going to read the verse. You may remain seated. I want to read the verse, pray, and jump right in the message. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Heavenly Father, please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, let me communicate that which you've laid upon my heart, that it might help thy people, help us to think biblically. Transformation comes by the renewing of the mind, learning a new way of thinking. Not the world's way of thinking, not our own way of thinking, but your way of thinking. Help us to that end in Jesus' name. I want you to circle two words in verse number 7. Be ye. That's the title of the message tonight. Be ye. Be ye. God wants us concerned about what we ought to be. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. He said, be ye holy. Be ye holy. Now, how many of you are perfectly holy? Perfectly holy. All right, so we are therefore striving to obey this command, right? We are striving to be what we ought to be. Is that right? All right. So the notion that, well, if you can't do what you're supposed to do the right way, then just don't do it at all, is a farce. Who is going to be perfectly holy in this sinful world, in this sinful body? Who among us, other than myself, of course, is going to be perfectly holy? None. So does that mean that we ought not obey the command to be what we ought to be holy? Of course it doesn't mean that. We ought to obey the command. Amen. Be ye holy. And though we may, we obey it imperfectly, we ought to obey the command. All God's people in agreement said? Amen. Now turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. We're going to have, seems like a Bible study tonight. I'll preach for a minute or two at the very end. I might even raise my voice. We'll see. Numbers chapter 13. I want to drive a point home to you tonight. And what the land is. Verse 20, Numbers 13, verse 20. What the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And here it is, be ye. See that? Do you see that? Does anybody see it? Okay, all right. And be ye, what? Of good courage. All right, we can paraphrase it. Be courageous. It's, I'm scared. All right, be courageous anyway. What? Well, you supposed, okay. How many of you are perfectly holy? Raise your hand. All right, are we supposed to be holy? Yes or no? Yes. How many of you are perfectly holy? No. But how many of you say, I'm trying to obey that command to be holy? Right? Albeit imperfectly, I won't obey the command to be holy. Well, here's a command, be courageous. Be courageous. I'm scared to death. Be courageous then. What? Yeah, be courageous. Exercise courage. Do what courage does. You say, but I'm scared. All right, do it scared then. Amen. Do it scared. Be ye courageous. Go to First Chronicles. First Chronicles. These are in order in the scripture. So just keep on trucking until you find First Chronicles. First Samuel, First Kings, First Chronicles, chapter number 16. First Chronicles, chapter number 16. We're still in the Old Testament. And verse number 15, First Chronicles 16, verse number 15. Be ye what? Mindful. Keep it in mind. That's what we did tonight. Tonight, we intentionally stopped. We set aside a time. You say, well, I don't think you ought to just like, you know, make an appointment. You ought to do it when you feel it. You should like... have the Lord's Supper when you really feel it. No. You should have the Lord's Supper. Why? Because he said, have the Lord's Supper. He said, this do. He said, do it. He didn't give me, he said, as oft as you didn't tell us how oft do it. He said, just do it. Well, I think you should do it when you really feel it. Well, let me tell you something. You should do it if you feel it or you don't feel it. Because he told you to do it. Here he says in verse 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant. He speaks to his people here and says, think about always, don't forget, be mindful of my covenant. Be ye mindful. All right? How many of you struggle sometimes with forgetting? All right. But we have a command, be ye mindful. All right? So when we're mindful, we do it imperfectly. Is that right? All right? Because we do it imperfectly, that means we'll just throw up our hands and say, forget it. I'm not going to even try to remember the things I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to remember God's promises. Does it mean that? Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. Take your Bibles and turn to chapter 30, 2 Chronicles, the next book, and chapter 30. Let's look at a be ye, a negative. All these are positive. Be ye holy, be ye courageous, be ye mindful. Now here's a negative. chapter 30, verse number 8. 2 Chronicles 30, verse number 8. Now, be ye not stiff-necked. Be ye not stiff-necked. We say it this way, hard-headed. How many of you, somebody in your family is hard-headed? Okay, all right. As your fathers were. How many of you had a dad that was hard-headed? All right. But yield yourselves unto the Lord. Be ye not stiff-necked. Go to Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse number 9. Be ye not as Brother Kevin was this morning in the sermon. Right? He was the mule. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now this is contrasted with Proverbs chapter 8. Keep your finger here. Turn to Proverbs 8, and I'll show you a contrasting verse here. Proverbs chapter 8. Turn over there. You got your finger still in Psalms 32. We have a be ye. In both of these, we got Psalm 32. You still got your hand there. Now we're in Proverbs 8 and verse number 5. And he says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools. Read the next rest of the verse. Ready? Be ye of an understanding heart. Be ye of an understanding heart. Psalm 32, verse 9, the verse we just read, don't be like a horse. Don't be like a stubborn mule that doesn't understand. Be ye, in Proverbs 8, of an understanding heart. Be understanding. I just don't understand so-and-so. Well, be understanding. Well, I can't understand them. Be understanding. That the burden is on us to obey that command. Well, I just don't understand him. Typically means I don't want to understand him. That's what it typically means. I have no idea. Usually means I don't want to have an idea. That's what it means. And God said, be ye understanding. Go to the prophet Isaiah. You're in Proverbs. We'll keep on trucking through the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And look at verse number 18. Isaiah 65, almost at the end of the book. And verse number 18. Isaiah 65, verse number 18. All right, if your neighbor's there, say amen. All right. All right, let's look at it together. But be ye what? Glad. Be ye glad. I don't feel glad. Be glad. Be ye glad. That's a command, right? Well, I am not a fake now. I ain't going to act happy if I'm not happy. Not me. I'm no hypocrite. I got a bad attitude. I'm going to let everybody know. I'm sorry, but there's no merit in that. You have a command. It said, be ye glad. Be ye glad. Did you get that? Be ye glad. How many of you are obeying that command at this very moment? How many of you are struggling at this moment to obey? How many of you had trouble obeying that command sometime in the last 7 days? All right. Some honest folks. That's a command. Be ye glad. So, okay. Well, if I can't be perfectly glad, then I just don't believe in being part glad or halfway glad. If I'm not really actually feeling it, I just don't think you ought to do it if you don't feel it. God says differently, doesn't he? He didn't say feel glad. He said be glad. He said be glad. Mr. Cook, stand up for me. Be a chicken. How about that? Make him run around like thank you. Can be seated. Wasn't that amazing? Now, he did all right, didn't he? No, he didn't do it perfectly, but he did it. Everybody understand? He was intentional about it. When God said, be ye, he's saying, you be intentional. Does God know that it will probably be an imperfect obedience? You think God knows that? Yes or no? Does God know that? He knows that. Should we obey the command? Yes or no? Yeah. So for enough of this nonsense. Well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and I can't go all the way. I'm not going to go at all. That is masking disobedience. Be what you ought to be. Well, I failed. Then get up and try again. Amen? Be ye glad. Go to the New Testament. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse number 48. Last verse of the chapter. Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore, what? Perfect. Ooh. All right. How many of you have met that standard? Just a few of you. Jonathan raised his hand. Noah raised his hand. We're not surprised by this, are we? All right. Okay. So you say, well, you're trying to act like you're perfect. What, you trying to be perfect? Well, you trying to be holy? Is that what you're trying to be? You just trying to be holy. Hey, yes, I am. Albeit imperfectly, I'm to be holy. I'm to be mindful. I'm to be courageous. I'm to be perfect. How many of you say, Pastor, I got a ways to go to get there? Yes. Yes. Now turn to chapter 10. Chapter 10. And verse number 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore what? Wise. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be ye therefore wise and be ye harmless. Be ye wise. How many of you did something foolish this week? How many of you did something foolish this week? All right. Let's have a testimony about that. And no, we won't do that. The Bible said be ye wise. Be wise. And you've done it, and I've done it, and we do it often, I'm sure. Man, that was dumb. Why'd I do that? That was dumb. I was foolish. Why'd I do that? I knew better. Now, wait a minute. You know, that person's a hypocrite. Well, no, that person's a human being. That person is living in a sinful body, in a sinful world. And you can learn through the power of the Holy Spirit to be perfect. You can learn to be wise, and God will help you. But as long as you live in this world, it will be an imperfect effort. Is that right? So because it's an imperfect effort, does that mean that it would be hypocritical to try to obey the command? Absolutely not. You say, well, what would it be? It would be being obedient. How have we gotten to the place in Christianity when a Christian is trying to be obedient, we have somehow construed that to be hypocrisy? That somehow the only genuine Christians in the world are the ones who don't try. How did we get there? How did we get to the place where we lift up the perfect effort as a goal, but have more of a desire to be perceived as real, genuine, than we do want to be obedient? And that because I cannot obey perfectly, I'm not going to be a fake and not try. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to be real. I'm be myself. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Chapter 24. Verse 44. Matthew 24, 44, therefore be ye also ready. Be ready. Amen. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. How many of you ever had company come over and you weren't ready for company when they came? Yeah, you said, you, Pastor. Perhaps. But he said, be ready. Be ready. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6. Be ye therefore merciful. That's preceded by love your enemies in verse before. Be ye therefore merciful. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding deserved judgment. We are not consumed because of His mercies, right? Because God withheld judgment we deserve. And God said, be merciful. Amen? Hey, if God wasn't merciful, none of us would be here, right? God said, be, well, that guy gets by with everything, but he ain't getting by with this. Be ye merciful. Romans chapter 12. You could quote this probably. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, here it is. And what? Be not conformed to this world. You know, it's the funniest thing. People say, I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be my own man. I'm tired of people telling me what I got to do. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. Here's the craziest thing. People say, I'm going to be my own man, go do my own thing. And what do? They go out and do what everybody else is doing. And you won't call that nonconformity. That's not nonconformity. That's conformity. You want to be unique? You want to be peculiar? Live for Jesus Christ. Ain't too many people doing that. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, 58, right at the end of the chapter there. 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. What else? Unmovable. What else? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. You doing more for the Lord this year than you did last year? Be always abounding. Be always abounding. Now you say, Pastor, that's a tough one right there. Are you on your way? You say, well, I don't have any idea how I'm going to obey that command. Obey the command, albeit imperfectly, obey the command. Be ye steadfast. Be unmovable. Be always abounding. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. We talked about that this morning. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Well, they're not kind to me. Be ye kind. Be tender-hearted, the verse says. Be forgiving, the verse says. James 1, 2, be ye doers of the word. James 5, 8, be ye also patient. 1 Peter 1, 15, be ye holy. 1 Peter 4, 7, be ye therefore sober, be serious-minded. God often tells us what he wants us to be. Be ye sober-minded, be holy, be patient, be a doer, be kind, be tender, be forgiving, be separate, be courageous, be mindful, be understanding, be glad, be perfect, be wise, be ready, be merciful, be transformed, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Get your dictionary down, get your concordance down, get your computer Bible program, and look for be ye real in the Bible. You won't find it. You won't find it. God tells us what he wants us to be. Now, when God told us what he wanted us to be, do you think maybe he knew that our obedience to those commands would probably be imperfect? In imperfect obedience? You think he knew that? All right. Since we obey imperfectly, should we just not try to obey? That's what some would have us to believe. Some would have us to believe that it is loftier not to try to obey at all than to obey imperfectly. And I say, that's a bunch of foolishness. Yes, well, I don't believe in acting. I'm real. Turn to 1 Samuel. Now we're going back to the Old Testament. Chapter 4. 1 Samuel 4. Verse number 9. 1 Samuel 4, verse number 9. Now, here, the Bible combines a command of what we ought to be with encouragement to act like we ought to act. Look at verse number 9. Be strong. We got that? Be strong. Is that a command, yes or no? Yes, it is. And quit yourselves like men. Quit yourselves like men. The word quit there is a word, it's broadly used in the Bible. But it is also, for example, in Genesis 2:7, it is used, it is translated became. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God said here, be strong and quit yourselves like men, he's saying, become like a man. Now, interesting here, these are unsaved people talking. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. The word quit there also translates become. What these unsaved people were saying is, hey, come on now, be what you ought to be. Don't be afraid right now. Be strong right now. Quit like men. Become men. Here's what they were saying. It's time for you to grow up and act like a man. We got to go to battle. And if these Israelites beat us, then we'll be their servants. And I don't want to be a slave to a Hebrew. And so be a man. He said, well, that's unsaved people talking. Go to 1 Corinthians 16:13. Back over the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:13. How many of you are still turning in your Bible? Oh my. How many of you are still, say amen. Still turning in your Bible? Say amen. All right, good. Excellent. 2 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. You see that? Quit you like men. Be strong. The words, English words, those four words, quit you like men. In the Greek language, it's one word. And you know what it means? It means act manly. Act manly. I like to talk to all these effeminate boys running around here. Act manly. The effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible said. Look, if I can act fruity, you can act masculine. I'm not fruity. Just so everybody knows. But I can act fruity. Stop it. And I can do it boldly, or I can just do it a little bit, you know, just a little bit subtly. And so I get the heebie-jeebies. So, God, you go shake your hands, and it's a dead fish. Man, you say, well, that hurts. Look, if I can act fruity, you can act masculine. The reason you're acting fruity is because that's what you've been looking at. That's who you've been talking to. That's who you've been taking your cues from. They said, well, I'm just trying to be genuine. How about be genuinely obedient? And God said, act like a man. Don't do it during the service. Please. And you kids don't need to do this, but your parents might, you might ought to do this. Get your Google down and type in gay haircut. And let the world tell you what a gay haircut is. And then you can intentionally act manly like the Bible says. Look, you think, well, there's nothing sinful with having 4 inches of woof on top of my head. No, the size of your woof doesn't have anything to do with being sinful, or but it sure does associate. Yep, man, preacher. So act manly. Well, I'm just not into chopping wood, and I'm not into... That's okay. I don't like sports. Not every man likes sports. But every man can act like a man. Amen. Yes. The world... Well, I say the world... Worldly Christianity would have us to believe that anything that's not done genuinely is somehow wrong. And that the loftiest of all virtues is to be real. You say, well, Pastor, all right, the Bible says honor all men. Well, Pastor, if I don't feel respect for somebody, I'm not going to be a fake and show respect to somebody that I don't respect. Okay? What you just said is you're going to be disobedient. Yeah, but I'm not a fake. Okay, so let me get this straight. In your mind, you are more virtuous for not being a fake than you are for being obedient. Is that right? Do you understand how insidious this philosophy is? How many times have you ever talked to somebody and said, well, I ain't going to, bless God, I'm a bunch of hypocrites at church, man. I ain't going to go out here on Saturday night, get drunk, go to church on Sunday morning. I ain't no hypocrite. Why is the fix for that not go to church on Sunday morning? How come the fix isn't don't get drunk on Saturday night? And I submit to you that if you got drunk on Saturday night, you especially need to be in church on Sunday morning. I ain't no hypocrite. As though not being a hypocrite is more virtuous than being obedient. The Bible said, honor all men. He said, well, I don't want to be put on. Interesting. Job 29:14. Listen to it. This is Job. I put on righteousness. Folks, listen. If you've been saved for more than 5 minutes, you know sometimes you do right when you don't really want to do right. And when you don't feel like doing right, you do right anyway. Amen? That's Christianity. Growing in grace means we get to the place, yes, where we want to do right and we enjoy doing right. And then after we started doing right, then God goes to work on our motives. And we learn to do right for the right reason. But the fact of the matter is we're all growing in grace. And the idea that somehow it's more virtuous to be what this hypocritical world calls real than it is to be obedient is an insidious, demonic, devilish philosophy that is destroying holiness among Christianity. Real church. Real church. Does wearing your hair floppy, showing your thighs, dancing to the world's music become more virtuous than come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing? That is an abomination for a man to put on a woman's garment and a woman to put on a man's garment. How did that become more virtuous? We're real. Yeah, you are. Real worldly. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You say, well, I know some people, and they say they're Christians, and what? They do an imperfect job of obeying? Guess what? That's every Christian who's ever lived in any age. Here's the big lie. That being, quote unquote, real or quote unquote genuine is the highest good. It equates being authentic with being holy. No, listen. Friends, listen to me very carefully. The goal is not a noun, it's an adjective. The goal is not genuineness, a noun. The goal is to be genuinely tender, genuinely forgiving, genuinely kind, genuinely patient, genuinely sober, genuinely holy, genuinely mindful, genuinely courageous, genuinely glad, genuinely ready, genuinely wise, genuinely merciful. Listen, the goal is not some state of nirvana where there's no hypocrisy. I am what you see is what you get. And this state of genuine, that's no, it is Christ-likeness and how being an imperfect attempt, no matter how imperfect that attempt, that's much better than succumbing to worldly passions and then saying, well, I'm just being real. The goal is not a noun, it's an adjective. Here's the insinuation. That if you're trying, you're faking. That's the insinuation. And the mantra is that being fake is the worst thing you could be. And so the practical application of that philosophy becomes being real translates and has become removing all constraints. Sloppiness becomes now proof of spiritual enlightenment. See, I'm real. I forgot how to shave. Can I say something to you, men? Either wear a beard or don't wear a beard. But don't look like some fella who hasn't bathed in a week. Is everybody okay? Breathe in, breathe out. You don't know how to comb your hair anymore. What is it? Well, I just want to be real. This philosophy has turned the devil's music into so-called worship of a holy God. It has turned loose behavior into liberty in Christ. And drinking booze now has become liberty in Christ. And immodesty has become liberty in Christ. Do you remember when your coach told you, boy, get your game face on? Why? Because you were scared of your opponent and you were down and the score wasn't going your way. And he said, you get out there and you act like a man and you do what a man does and you get your game face on. And Christianity needs to get her game face on again. He said, well, I'm no fake. What is right to do is right to do. And it's better to do right imperfectly than to do wrong perfectly. It's better to do right with an imperfect motive than it is to do wrong with a perfect motive. At the root of all of this is one major sin. The fear of man bringeth a snare. We are more afraid of being thought a hypocrite than we are having a healthy fear of God. We ought to fear God. We ought to show respect to God. We ought to honor God. We ought to please God. We ought to be on a search for everything that we can find that pleases and honors our God. And though we strive imperfectly, we ought to continue to strive and continue to be obedient. I'm not advocating hypocrisy. I hope you understand that tonight. I'm not advocating being fake. But I am saying that there's a philosophy that is hindering Christianity. And by the way, as with all bad philosophies, the harvest is coming in the next generation. Let's just be what God wants us to be. Amen? And He wants us to be separate. And He wants us to be holy. And He wants us to be tenderhearted. He wants us to be forgiving. He said, well, I'm not doing very well. Keep on trying. Let's stand. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your precious word.